The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. We have a good day to look forward to in Ireland on Sunday with the Phoenix Stakes, the feature race in the Curra. That Group 1 contest for two-year-olds over 6 furlongs is the highlight. We also have the Phoenix Sprint Stakes and plenty of other competitive races on their card. So plenty to look forward to on Sunday. My name is Mark Walton and joining me on the line to look ahead to the action is William Hill Radio's Irish racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
I'm good, mate. You?
Yeah, good, thanks. Looking forward to today. It should be a good day in the Curra, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it's the standout meeting of the day, isn't it? Stuff over this side of the Irish Sea, not so great, Windsor and Leicester, but we've got a genuine Group 1 race for two-year-olds, and we've got the Phoenix Sprint Stakes as well, seeing the return of Marek at his old stomping ground, and some other good races as well, littered on what looks a really competitive card.
It does, there's plenty to get stuck into. What, have you got many strong opinions today, Andy?
Yeah, I have really. I think there's a couple of nice two-year-olds running. I think the betting's all skewed in the Phoenix Stakes, the big race.
Okay.
I actually think there's a horse that's 100-1, which shouldn't be 100-1.
Right. Okay. Good. Well, we'll find out your thoughts.
It's not going to be me nap. I haven't got 100-1 nap.
Why not live a little? It might come off.
You never know.
You never know. Anyway, we'll find out your thoughts in the Phoenix Stakes later on. We must start in the first race, which is the 2:35, and we start with an Irish Stallion Farms EBF Maiden over a mile. And John F. Kennedy heads the betting this morning. Aidan O'Brien's son of Galileo out of Rumpelstiltskin, so well-bred. He's 11-8 at the top of the betting this morning. Portage is 5-2 from 11-4. It's 4-1 for Dunquin. Intransive is 8-1, 12-1 for R-Red in the last Marju, and then 18-1 or bigger price as the rest. John F. Kennedy is the one that most people will start with here, Andy. Second on debut, second favourite for the Derby next year, and has a big reputation despite only one run. Do you see him getting off the market the second time of asking, or is there something else in here?
Well, he's going to have to improve, isn't he, on his first run to justify those lofty quotes in the Derby for next year. I mean, everyone was expecting him to wow us with that run first time out at Leopardstown, and although he ran okay, he ran respectively. It was a slowly run race, dictated by Kevin Manning from the front and Hall of Fame. He just basically didn't have the speed late on, did he, to cope with a horse who'd had the previous experience. Now, he's obviously going to, you know, come along a good way from that run. He's going to leave that run well behind. But, you know, sort of second favourite for the Derby. I mean, he wouldn't be one a horse I'd look at and want to be parting with any of my money anyway. On the evidence of that, what we saw the other day, I really do think he's up against a very smart animal here in the shape of Portage, and I actually think he achieved much more on his debut here at the Curra than John F. Kennedy did at Leopardstown back in mid-July. He finished second to one of Aidan O'Brien's called East India. Now, I know you could question that form because East India's got beat subsequently at Tipperary the night, but he rather got outridden the other night there, Joseph O'Brien, by the jockey on Convergence who nicked it from the front. I think it was Colin Keane, wasn't it, who rode Joe Lange's charge. And I didn't think East India obviously ran that badly, even though it was a wild odds-on shot. But Portage certainly was the horse to take out of that race behind East India. A big, strong, strapping unit. This horse is massive. He's almost like a three-year-old now. He'll definitely dwarf a lot of these horses in the parade ring. And I expect him to come on even more for that run than John F. Kennedy would for that run in Leopardstown. He stayed on very powerfully late on. In fact, another couple of strides, he would have won that day. The extra furlong will be absolutely ideal. Now, obviously, he's by Teofilia, so I've no idea whether he'll go on the ground. It's yielding currently at the Curra. There are expected showers on the remnants of Hurricane Bertha, of course, coming through across the Irish Sea. So it's obviously going to get softer throughout the day. But he's the biggest, strongest horse in this race, and I think he'll handle the ground better than the favourite. I think he's a rattling good bet at 5-2. So good, strong, solid support for Portage in the first.
Okay, taking on John F. Kennedy then with Portage in the opener. The second race is the 3:05, and this is an EBF Fillies race over 7 furlongs for two-year-olds that had not run before June the 1st, 2014, that are EBF eligible and have not placed first, second or third in a group or listed race. And Too Good To Be True heads the betting this morning at 6-4. It's 2-1 for Tamador, 10-1 for Vocal Nation and Ortega and Podder, and then 11-1 and bigger prices the rest. So priced up as a match, Andy, between Too Good To Be True and Tamador. Do you see it that way?
I do, on what I've got anyway, figures-wise, but that doesn't always mean to say that there won't be something lurking in the unraced brigade to come and spoil the party. But as, as we've seen so far, Tamador and Too Good To Be True set a reasonably good standard. Too Good To Be True's had a couple of runs. She ran quite well first time out at Nace and then did what she was expected to do here last time at the Curragh. I know she's 1-2, and people will just look at that performance as a standard piece of work for an odds-on shot of Aidan O'Brien's. But I thought it was a much better run than at face value, because she did it from stall one. Not very easy to do at the Curragh on the straight track, as we know. She had to use a bit of petrol from the outside gate to get across to the front. So although she only won by 3/4 of a length, I marked up a little bit better than that performance. And she is probably the one to beat here with another good draw today. Of course, the stall's on the far side, so that means that stall one becomes a good draw, hugging that far side rail. But that said, I do think she's up against a really nice filly in the shape of Tamador. I'm going to tip Kevin Prendergast's filly against her, because I thought she ran an absolute stormer in a very hot race at Galway the other day. I think this is one of the hottest races of its kind at the Ballybrick Festival last week. And I like the way that Tamador quickened up in the latter stage. He's got outrun by a horse called Legitissimo, who'd already had the benefit of a previous run. But they did pull well nicely clear of Chinese Light, who was a red-hot favourite from the Dermot Weld stable. The Weld camp thought that was an absolute certainty that day. And back in fourth was a horse called Fields of May, who defied stall 16 to win at Tipperary of the night. So I think this form's all right, you know, and I really do like this filly. She's got plenty of soft ground influences on a dam side. She's by an Indian Ridge mare. And looking at her action as well, she hits the ground quite hard. She's got quite a rounded action. So I think she'll be more suited to the rain than Too Good To Be True. And she's been chalked up at 2-1 second favourite. So similar to the first race, I'm going to take on the red-hot Aidan O'Brien favourite with the second favourite in the shape of Tamador.
OK. Tamador, the selection then in the 3:05. The 3:35 is race 3 on the card. And this is a handicap for three-year-olds and older over 7 furlongs. And Anna Queen is 3-1 favourite this morning. 6-1 for Port Merion. Have a Nice Day is 7-1 with Fix It. Nancy Rose is 8-1. 10s for Danish Duke and Yava and Soft Power. And then 12-1 and bigger prices, the other runners. Competitive handicap this one, Andy. Who do you like here?
Well, I think most of the betting public are going to like the bottom one here. Anna Queen, trained by, of course, Tony Martin, who had an unprecedented 6 winners at the Galway Festival. And the way that this horse was backed the other day before a late withdrawal, I can imagine the sort of 4-1, 3-1 prices which have been quoted this morning are going to disappear quite rapidly. I'm not sure why it was a withdrawal the other day. Maybe the ground might have been a bit too quick. Certainly not going to get that today with showers forecast. But she didn't half catch the eye last time we saw her, and that was in Down Royal the other day. It was a race that was won by Fix It, who got a lovely ride from Caroline Murta from the front. But loitering out the back was Chrissy Haynes on Anna Queen. Only had one horse behind it with 2 furlongs to run, but finished off that strongly, ended up running on into third, to be never nearer at the finish. This horse is definitely going to win races sooner rather than later off that current mark, a mark of 51. I'd expect this horse to be running in races in 0-80, 0-75 company in the not-too-distant future, and this race might indeed set the ball rolling. She does rate the selection. However, there are one or two other horses that catch the eye. A horse called Yava, who was well punted the other day down in Nace, I thought ran quite well. I think that horse will improve for the run and or sort of improve going through the rest of the season. And if you want one horse that will handle the conditions, well, that will definitely be Nancy Rose. I predict that the ground will definitely be soft by the time that they run this race, and all her best form is on an easy surface. Whether she's quite good enough to win off a mark of 74, I wouldn't be absolutely sure, but she's certainly a horse to put in your play spots and that kind of exotic bet. But Anna Queen, absolutely ridiculously well handicapped off a mark of 51. She handles ground, and I think she might run out the winner.
Okay, Anna Queen then in the 3:35. The big race of the day is at 4:05. This is the Group 1 Phoenix Stakes, which is a group one for two-year-olds over six furlongs, and Anthem Alexander is the 7-4 market leader, the Queen Mary winner. Cool Company is 11-4 into 9-4 this morning. Beach Bell 5-1, it's 9-1 for Dick Whittington and the Great War, the Ed O'Brien pair. It's 10-1 for Capella San Severo, and then 20-1 or bigger prices the rest. You mentioned that you like, well, you think one's overpriced in here, Andy, but let's just start at the top end of the betting. Is the ground going to be too soft for Anthem Alexander, and will that play into Cool Company's hands?
Well, that's the big question, isn't it? We don't really know what the conditions will be like. 405, we're only guessing. At the moment, it's currently yielding. They've had quite a few showers overnight. They've had 12 mil. So connections of Edwin Lyne and Star Filly are going to be keeping their fingers crossed that all the predicted rain keeps away from the headquarters of Irish Flat Racing this afternoon. If it gets, obviously, any more softer, then the chances of Anthem Alexander decrease, don't they? Up to now, her only poor race came on debut on soft ground here at the Curragh. I mean, she didn't run tragically, but she certainly wasn't up to the standard that we saw at Tipperary next time out in a fast time. And, of course, when she won at Royal Ascot, winning the Queen Mary in the style of a very good filly, Tiggy Wiggy, who she beat on that occasion, romped a victory next time out in the Super Sprint at Newbury. So her form, her speed figures, and the way she goes about her races suggests that she's probably the best filly around at the moment in the sprinting category. But she has got a good turn of foot and a good cruising speed, so soft ground wouldn't be an issue. Whereas it certainly won't be any kind of problem for Cool Company, who, of course, won last time out in Maison Lafitte, proving that he handles very soft ground, and B, that he stays really well. We've also seen him in his top form when he's been over to the island as well, when he won the Railway Stakes back in June, beating several of today's horses at Riopose, and he also won in Nice early on in the season, handling a bit of cut in the ground. So I think the market will definitely shift in his favour, and it wouldn't surprise me if the rain continued to fall that he would end up being favourite. That's not, by any stretch of imagination, means that I'm going to actually tip him at his price, because I do think there's a couple of horses in this race that are definitely worthy of some interest in much bigger odds. I think this race is rather top-heavy on the front end of the market, and on my speed figures, it's a little bit more wide open than you'd imagine. The one I really do like is Dick Whittington. I think this horse has been massively, massively underestimated here, and I can't believe for the life of me how Joseph O'Brien hasn't decided to ride this horse. I'm amazed he's riding Great War. I think that's a massive mistake. For a start off, the Great War is drawn in stall one, and I don't think he'll handle the ground. So I'll definitely put a fork in him. And also, similarly, Stab a Companion War Envoy, he wouldn't want the ground either. But I do think Dick Whittington will handle the ground better than most here. He's already proven that he goes on a soft surface a couple of times this season. And he was really, really impressive the last time we saw him at the Curragh. That was over 6.5 furlongs in the Anglesey Stakes, putting in a massive speed figure to beat a good field of stayers, including Toscanini, who, of course, was second in the Chesham at Royal Ascot. Prior to that himself, he was third in that very same race, and the race has worked out really well. He stays well. He likes the Curragh. He goes well with a bit of cut in the ground. And I think Dick Whittington's definitely the strongest one of the Aidan O'Brien camp, and I'm definitely going to be backing him each way. And as I mentioned beforehand, I do think Casbar is worth a little bit of an interest at 100-1. I think this horse is a 100-1 shot. He comes out of a very strong race of the day at Nice, which I've been banging on about for quite a while. Although he got beat 3.5 lengths, he got beat by the fastest filly I've got so far in Ireland this season, called Aneep. Back in third was Simply a Star, who bolted up the other night at Tipperary, thus boosting the form. And this horse actually comes out really well on my figures. He hasn't got that much to find with Cool Company on their run early on in the season at Nice. He's got the blinkers on first time, which could improve him. And if he handles the ground and handles the track, I do think Casbar is capable of outrunning his odds. Ridiculous price of 100-1. So I'm going to take on the big guns here. Dick Whittington, available to back around about 10 or 12 to 1 this morning with most firms. And Casbar, a whopping 100 to 1, also makes up my rather ambitious look at that 405.
Okay, couple of big price ones then against the field in the feature race. The 435 is a pretty good race as well. The Phoenix Sprint Stakes, which is a Group 3 over six furlongs, and it's the return of Marek. He's the 6-4 market leader at the time of recording. It's 7-2 for Rocky Ground, 6-1 for Hamza. Russian Soul is 7-1. Money for Anside Air, who's 12s into 9-1 this morning. 12-1 for Scream Blue Murder. Jamesy is 14s, and Flight Risk is 20-1. What are your thoughts here, Andy? Because an active betting market this morning.
Yeah, I think the race will be run at a sound pace as well, so it should, in all intents and purposes, suit Marek. You've got a couple of front runners here that know only one way of going, and that, of course, is Hamza and Ansidia as well, the money horse this morning. Both of those two horses like to force the issue. I'd imagine Ansidia will try and get over to the stand rail, drawn in stall number 8. he's got the perfect opportunity to race up the stand side rail and set his own fractions. I think he'll be there or thereabouts at the finish as well on Sarge, because he does go really well with cutting the ground at this time of year, and he does like the Curra. Certainly won't put you off him from an each-way stance, but you'd imagine that the front runners would set it up here for Marek, who absolutely adores the Curra. He's won here three times. He basically hardly ever runs a bad race, and of course he's the sprint king, if you like, having won at York early on in the season, winning the Duke of York Stakes, and of course he won the Prix de l'Abbaye towards the back end of last season as well, when the ground was soft. Now this horse really does operate when the conditions are very testing, and I predict by 4:35 that there will be sufficient cut in the ground to allow this 7-year-old to be at his very best. You know, he's bumped into the very best horse we've seen in the sprinting category this year on his last start. That was behind Slade Power. He hasn't run since, but that's largely due to the dry summer that we've had. And I think, you know, we won't see the best of this horse until the autumn comes, and there is a bit of cut in the ground. So good opportunity for Marek to get back on track. I do think Ansarjo will outrun his odds at around about 8-1. I think he's a fair each-way bet. But Marek, hopefully, will come through at the end and just show what a good horse he is on soft ground.
Okay, Marek then, the selection in the Phoenix Sprint Stakes. The 5:05 is the penultimate race this afternoon. It's a handicap for three-year-olds and older over a mile, and Shalimzar is the 7-2 favourite as we record this in the morning. Hassanar is 6-1. Bit of money for Gone Viral, 7s into 6s. 7-1 for Bo Satchel, 10-1 for Akasaka and Ashjar and Corbus as well. And then Jade Jaidan is 12-1 with Lean and Keen and Dynamite Dixie and Derulo, and then 20-1 or bigger prices the rest. Another open race this one, Andy. Who'd you like in the 5:05?
One of the strongest run races run at the Galway Festival was the race that was won by Hassanor, a horse that really annoyed me actually, because I've been tipping him left, right and centre on the podcast prior to Ballybrook, and I left him alone. Of course, went for the second on that occasion in the shape of Shretor. But back in third was one of the biggest eye catches of the week, one of the horses that produced one of the best sectional times I had on any race at the Galway Festival, and that was Shalimzar. No great surprise, therefore, that bookmakers have rather spotted this as well. Came from last with three furlongs to run to finish a very close up and a never nearer, knocked about third. Surely would have run with a bit more of a positive ride. Has been also handed a really good draw as well today on the round track. The further you're drawn, or the closer you're drawn to that far side fence you are, the better. So stall one gives Fran Berry the ideal opportunity on this Selkirk gelding to get him in a good position, or certainly a better position than he was in Ballybrick. And if he is, and I think he'll swoop late and come through strongly at the end here and take this prize. He's been chalked up around about the 4-1 mark with most firms this morning, and even though there might be one or two non-runners floating around, I do think that's worthy of a nice each-way interest. I think the money for Gone Viral is very much justified as well, another soft ground horse that has got his conditions. Bo Satchel's been in good form, and he also won't mind the ground. So the market has sort of like shifted in the right areas, that they're concentrating on the ones that I want to be with and want to get with in this race. But Shalimzar, off the back of that huge eye-catching run at Galway the other day, plain and simply just has to be the selection from an informed stable.
Okay, Shalimzar the selection in the penultimate race then, and the 5:35 is the final race this evening. We finish with an Irish Stallion Farms EBF Fillies handicap over 6 furlongs. It's for 3-year-old fillies and older, and Pearl Earring and Kiss the Stars are the 5-2 joint favourites this morning. Big Bad Lily is 6s into 11-2. It's 6-1 for Maradiavola, 7-1 for Glassatura, and Elusive Ice is 8s and 10s, all bigger prices for the other two runners. Who do you side with in the lucky last, Andy?
Well, again, I think the draw plays a significant role here, and horses that can handle the ground. So there's only really two that I can fancy here, strongly anyway, and that's Pearl Earring, one of them. She's going to be my number one choice. She absolutely adores soft ground. Her two victories in the career have come when there's been plenty of giving the ground. She probably needed the run first time up this season at the Curra over 7 furlongs of distance, which stretched her as well, so I wouldn't really hold that against her. But bookending that modest run has been two smooth victories. She's drawn up the stand rail, she's got a good turn of foot, and David Watson's team are in good form. So despite top weight, I do think Pearl Earring is definitely the one to beat. But also have a little bit of a saver on Big Bad Lily, the other horse who likes it here at the Curra, and also enjoys a little bit of cutting the ground. The last time that she got a condition similar to today's, she ran out quite a comfortable winner off the back of a strongly run race. That was back in June. And with Sean Corby creating a splash on both sides of the Irish Sea, of course he had two winners yesterday at Ayr. He's still very much worth his £7 claim, and he gets on quite well with his mare as well. So the two fillies in the race here, with strong soft ground form, both here at the Curra, Pearl Earring and Big Bad Lily, or exactly the way I'd look in the last race.
Okay, good stuff, Andy. Thank you very much. Let's just have a quick summary of your selections, if you'll spin us through them one more time.
Yeah, really like Mickey Halford's Portage in the first. I think he's the nicest horse, one of the nicest horses on show today. Hopefully he'll floor the favourite in the first. Similar comments apply to Kevin Prendergast's Tamador in the second. I think she's got all the qualities to prove that she's the wrong price in the second race. 3.35, probably the least convincing of my selections today in a rather difficult-looking handicap, but hopefully Anna Queen will handle the conditions and go quite well. I'm going to take on the big guns in the 4.05, rather audaciously, with Dick Whittington, who can be backed around about 12-1 each way this morning. I think that's a really good bet. And Casbar as well from the Johnny Murta stable. 100-1. Can't believe that horse is 101 shot. Certainly not in the figures. Definitely worth an interest. Marek looks probably the best bet on the card in the 4.35, but also expect a good run from Onsidia. Shalimzar in the 5.05. I think he's going to attract all the support there, and quite justifiably so as well. And in the final race, Pearl Earring and Big Bad Lily, two horses that are bound to handle the conditions, which by the last race, I'm sure will be on the testing side.
OK, good stuff, Andy. Thank you very much. Good luck with your selections, and enjoy what should be a good day in the Curragh this afternoon.
Thanks, buddy.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.